It's ready to go.
Hello, everyone. My name's John. I'm an addict. I'd like to ask you to help me open this meeting with the Serenity Prayer. Let's have a moment of silence, please. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. May I have Gerald Reed, who's an addict?
Gerald, recovering an addict. Most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know. Our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one way, in one form or another. The getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. Very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continuing and progressive illness whose ends are always the same, jails, institutions, and death. Thank you for letting me read.
Thanks for reading. Our next speaker is someone that is very dear to me. In fact, he's my sponsor. It's always an honor and a privilege to hear him come and report in. And his topic is just for the day, and I give us Gerald. Excuse me. His topic is the triangle self-assessment. I was thinking about his own group.
I'm Gerald, and I'm an addict. Right, right. Yeah, I should know that, being DJ equipment and all that. Trying to clip it on here. Fresh off the road, I'm Gerald and I'm an addict. I want to thank God for another day clean. Thank you people for being here. I take no credit. Grateful to be alive today. And I want to thank the Altoona area for, you know, asking me to share my experience, strength, and hope on the topic of triangle of self-obsession. I do got a pamphlet. You know, before I do that, I want to do a few preliminaries I do when I share. One of the things that we do around here is we read literature. I'll tell you, I put it like this. I stayed clean starting in 1991, but there was four or five times I got clean and I kept coming around. It's a difference between coming around and doing the work when you come around. Because abstinence is the first thing that we want to do. We want to first stay clean. And I could get clean. I'm a day short of 33 years. Tomorrow. No, don't clap. Don't do it. Don't do it. I don't believe in that. I believe in tomorrow, when it's July 22nd, 1991, is when I got back here and I stayed here. There was times that I got clean time. 18 months, you know, I'm 65 years old. 18 months, 2 years. Last time was 4.5 years. So I could get clean and be here for a while, but I didn't come in here participating in doing what this program has to offer. I didn't come in here, I didn't get a sponsor. Or you know what I did? I didn't use them. I didn't get a home group. I didn't get no literature. I didn't get no books. I wasn't spending my money on the books, you know. I just wanted to stay clean and kind of mimic what y'all did. Let me tell you, it didn't work. So the 33 I'll have tomorrow is nice. The clean time is nice hat. Don't get me wrong. Clean time, nice hat. Change time is what I'm working towards doing, okay? Because the 10 years that I didn't get before I stayed clean was my experience with relapse. You know, and I don't know when was the jarring experience that let me be a more rigorous application. I don't know if it was the times going to jail. I don't know if it was the times going to rehab. I don't know if it was the times that I was walking up and down the street when from dark to light was happening. I don't know. That was my spiritual experience of being dead. See, because you don't have to be physically dead to be spiritually dead around here. There's a difference. Y'all got to bear with me. I'm just coming off the road like whiplash. So when I got back and I got here, number one, I was scared. Okay. One thing about me I understand is if you ain't scared of the disease of addiction, you in trouble. And if you ain't scared, stay the hell away from me. Because I don't want no parts. Because clean times don't exempt you from getting high. I'm one bad decision away, just like the newcomer or somebody that just got here. And one thing about the newcomer and being new and just being somebody that came back, new mean not know. So if you've been here and you know, like where to go to a meeting and all that, your ass ain't no newcomer no more. You know where to go, or you know where to point somebody to tell them where to go to a meeting, where a Narcotics Anonymous meeting is. So you ain't new. Because I didn't know in the beginning. Some people helped me and took me to meetings and did this and did that. That meant I didn't know. But once I got here and I kept coming back, I wasn't new no more. I just didn't want to do the work that was necessary with being here, you know, to understand that the step process is the way we stay here. Well, something I read that scared me. It says on page 211 in the sixth edition, Coming Home, it says, today I believe that a person who is clean and who has not worked the steps can possibly be more dangerous than someone using. I don't know if that has any, you know, goes in your, how it goes in your mind. But I mean, even people that's here that ain't doing the process, the step process, could be possibly more dangerous telling people what to do instead of sharing with them. We give the you version or how you need to do it and forget all about what I need to do. That it ain't gonna work. And so being here for as long as I've been here, I'm gonna tell you, I got a passion about being clean and being in Narcotics Anonymous and the service that we do and the people that we help, giving it back freely what was given us, because somebody helped my raggedy butt. And you know, it's not funny, but you know, I got my youngest son just got murdered on the 3rd of May. And since he was 12 years old, because he'd never seen me get high, you know, he never seen me gang worn, he never seen me in a jail cell. But his path that he chose to take, just like paths that we take, put him in a position that got him murdered. And one thing about just like us being here, as we can see things that's going on with you before you even get there. So from 12 years old up until when he came home, because he came home January 17th, 2024. And he had just got done doing 7 years in the penitentiary, along with being in other homes and other boys' schools. But what I understood is being around here and listening to y'all stories and listening to y'all talk about your children and all the behaviors that went along with what we did and what they do, I could see it. I could see it. And there wasn't nothing I could do but try to give him the same things that we give each other here. So my last encounter with him was, he was in a halfway house. He was in a halfway house outside of Harrisburg, and they brought him into a halfway house in Harrisburg. Now, he was fine as long as he was in that halfway house outside. But once he came back into the city, based off his behaviors, because he was running around doing home invasions, stealing, taking cars, taking people's watches and money, and just him and his little gang was doing their thing. And that's what got him, that time it got him. And as soon as he came out, just like a using addict, he started going back to the same people, places, and things. He started to revert back to his most sickest behaviors. And somebody shot him 5 times. And then videoed it. And you know what's a blessing? That I happen to be in Georgia amongst 120 men at a function when my daughter called me and hysterically and said that her brother's dead. And I got 4 kids, 27, 29, 40, and 46. So the first thing I said to my daughter, see, I'm programmed. Y'all can, you can have to put it any way you want to, because the program sets you up that now, after the years that I've been here, the resentment, anger, and fear has subsided from my life. So the first thing I said to my daughter when she told me on the phone, when I'm in Georgia, I said, calm down. I need you to be, you and your brother to be my eyes and ears. Now, where did I get that from? That's in our literature. We are each other's eyes and ears. When we see something that is damaging to one of us, if we open, we go and say something. And a lot of times we don't be open. So if you anything like me back in the day, we tell you whether you was open or not, don't take it personal, just take it. Now, if you ain't open, where I'm at today, I just allow you to be where you at. Because you can't grasp no idea on a closed mind. That's in our literature too. So I told them to do that. So immediately she calmed down. See, it goes back to my understanding of the God that I believe in. Not just saying that, but being able to illustrate it in what I'm doing. Because when that happened, I happened to be at the function and I was going to a meeting, and the next thing you know, I was the opening speaker. And you know what? I've been here long enough to understand that we make our own bids. It ain't no coincidence. You know, because what happened with my son was as a result of what he was doing in the past, which I'll tell you, with me, you can't come live in my house like that. Not no more. Because just like we do around here, we try to tell the addict, we try to feed him, we try to bring him in our house. We do all these things. And then when they bite us in the back, we say, well, why did they do that to me? I love them. Can't help but using addict, whether using drugs, whether using behaviors, whatever they're using. But the understanding has to come from this program and how it's set up and designed to help us in ways that acceptance, love, and faith can come into play. Because that's what's in this pamphlet. It talks about how we start out, you know, as adults, still with the mentality or the womentality of a child. Still wanting what I want when I want it. Not worried about the needs or the desires, but give me what I'm supposed to get kind of thing. And the more I did that, the more I was subject to the pain that comes from it. Because see, in this pamphlet, it says resentment is the way most of us react to our past. You know, so any resentment I got, it came from something back behind me. Something that I didn't like that you did to me. And sometimes if I ain't open, I ain't really taking a look at what you're doing, because a lot of times we do stuff around here that shows love, but it don't feel so good. And later on, after the fact, when we see that you love me enough to say something to me, I say, thank you. I didn't understand at the time. It says, resentment is the way most of us react to our past. It is the reliving of past experiences again and again in our minds. Anger is the way most of us deal with the present. Now that anger thing for me, is I can't get angry without being hurt. So something that you say to me gonna hurt me first before I get angry. So it's a three-stage thing for me. You hurt my feelings, and if I don't deal with the feelings that I'm presented, then I go to the angry part. So then once I'm in the angry part, you know, I ain't open about nothing, and then I go in rage. And as soon as I see you, it's on. And it don't have to be on physically. Mentally, it's on. My behavior is going to show it's on. Because I ain't going to be open to what you saying and what you... I don't even give you a chance to explain yourself. Because I'm caught up. Caught up in the resentment. Now, the anger that took over after my feelings got hurt because I didn't want to deal with the feelings. I don't want y'all to tell me, it ain't my feelings. I'm angry. I ain't hurt. Well, you can't get angry without being hurt. And if you can, show me how. Because I'm going to explain to you, before you got angry, it hurt your feelings. And see, once I understand that my feelings is hurt, then I can go somewhere because I'm open-minded to the fact of that I don't allow these feelings to dictate my behavior. Because that's what we do. Once I get all caught up in this triangle of self-obsession and the fear kicks in, because I don't want you to see me afraid, you know, that I can't say something to you. I gotta act a certain way. I gotta be a certain way. No, that's not what the steps provide us. They provide us with an opportunity in the first step to have the acceptance that we need when we're dealing with situations. When I recognize I'm powerless, when I accept and surrender, when I do them things, some manageability can come in my life. If I don't, you see all the unmanageability come. Now I want to cuss you out or fight you or not give you your money after I borrowed it from you. And you told me you was going to give it to me next Friday. Now I'm asking you about my money from the next Friday, and you get mad at me because I'm asking for my money that you were supposed to give me last Friday. You see how we are? And then I won't blame it on you. It's your fault that I'm angry, that I resent you. But that ain't the case. And the more I present myself with reading this literature, when I start talking about how I'm coming to believe in this power greater than myself, that y'all put me in a position after the first to go to the second, to be able to go to the third, to make a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of the God that I understand. Not turn it over to God, turn it over to the care. It's a difference. But if I don't catch that, I'll be telling you all about how God did something when I got free will. And I'm talking about me. I'm talking about how hard-headed I was. Everything was about a reaction, not a response. I didn't really learn about the word response till I got here, and it was in the literature. It was explained to me that you ain't got to live that way no more, Gerald. That I could be talked off the ledge. Soon as I see John, I'm kicking his ass. Soon as I see John, we fighting. I don't care if I win or lose. It ain't about the fight and the dog. It's about the dog and the fight. Some old crazy shit like that. Excuse my French. But that's why it's so important to understand how, and I don't know how long I got, so. I can't tell you how important it is to read the literature. And I can't tell you that I came in here liking to read, because I didn't want to read, write, or nothing. But I heard a guy say, if you do this stuff, it'll help change your life. There were simple things that were said that helped me to understand some things today when we start talking about our self-acceptance pamphlet or our sponsorship pamphlet and how I'm giving you something that was given to me. Sponsorship's real easy. I do my work with my sponsor, my sponsors do the work with me. And it ain't a school thing where you gotta pass it in or all this and all that. I'd be hearing shit that, excuse my French, I might cuss a little, but I'd be hearing shit that's just crazy to me, you know, because we have a sponsorship pamphlet and I'm supposed to guide you through the steps. And if you want to write something down and believe it, you go right ahead. I'm going to help you with it. But if it turns the way you turn, we can come back and talk about it later. But it's an experience that I had myself with writing. You know, number one, I was going to be embarrassed because I thought I had to hand it in. I couldn't hardly spell. I couldn't comprehend. I couldn't retain information. All these different things had me not want to do this stuff. But then I had a loving and caring sponsor said, just write it the way you write it. Spell it the way you spell it. Because you're the only one going to read it. And I was like, wow. That made me feel good. That helped my self-esteem. That helped my self-worth. So that I started to be able to accept for myself and have some type of faith that the second step talks about. You know, because we in here, right? Oh, we in here, we share like Shakespeare. We giving you our experience, strength, and hope. And the next thing you know, I'm caught up in some old stuff over there on the playground. He said, damn, he just shared, didn't he? Look at him over there getting ready to fight. Wow. And it's not a judgment call, because let me tell you something about judgment. There's two types of judgment. There's a positive and a negative. If you're negatively judging somebody, that's not cool. If you positively judging somebody or trying to help them with something, okay. Because that's what we do anyway. Who wants to sit there talking that those who judge don't matter and those who matter don't judge? That's the biggest bunch of bullshit I ever heard too. But once I get past understanding, I'm able to get better with what I do and what I say. Because being around here for as long as I've been here, I've been in the same home group for 32 years. After tomorrow, it'd be 33, but after today, it's 32. And it started out a step tradition, and it became a concept, a step tradition and concept home group. Then what happened was, what happens in areas is other meetings get started right in the same place that other are, and they bump the other ones out, which we're supposed to watch, that it don't get done. But that's what happened. So what happened was we took another night, Sunday, and we created a Wednesday and Sunday. The Wednesday got bumped, so we had the Sunday. And I'm still part of the Sunday, and it's went a number of different ways. We used to use the Just for Today book. Now we use the a spiritual principle a day, you know, to try to help our home group where we used to be 10 o'clock in the morning, now we're 12 noon, to try to help because, for one, I don't know if it had to do with me or some of the members that was in our home group, but we lack attendance. You lack attendance, you lack money. So what we did was we moved it to try to get better. And here's the thing about it is our home group is like, y'all could come and celebrate your anniversary at our home group if you wanted to. You call us on the phone. We'll run it through the group, whatever day you want on Sunday or of the month. And you coming down to share your year anniversary, your 10-year anniversary, whatever. Because our job is to use what the first tradition talks about. It talks about the unity of us. First and 12 talks about the equality. Stop acting like, you know, just because I've been here for a minute longer than you or I know a few syllables more than you that I'm better than you or bigger than you. It ain't that way. We equal. Equal. How else could we be unified? How else could our memberships be the same? How else we could understand who's really in charge or who we say is in charge? One thing about being in charge, we say one thing, but then we do other things that kind of shows that we think we're in charge or controlling something. And y'all know just as well as I do, when you think you're in control, you're out of control. So, it's nothing new other than to practice what these principles talk about. But back to the triangle. It says, anger is the way most of us deal with the present. It is our reaction to the denial of reality. Fear is what we feel when we think about the future. It is our response to the unknown, a fantasy in reverse. Narcotics Anonymous has given me a new way of life and a set of tools. These are the 12 steps, and we work them to the best of our ability. We have a disease that, in the end, forces us to seek help. Now listen, I have a disease. I ain't the disease. That's what we got to understand. And if you think about me, the disease that I suffer with likes to spend money that it shouldn't be spending. Trying to get in chicks' pants that I shouldn't be getting in, like I'm a creep. Come on. I just ain't creeping. And this ain't nothing new for me. Because one of the things about Drew you're going to understand is he's going to give you who he is. So when you come with the okie doke later on, I already told you who I am. And I work on it a day at a time. But I'm not perfect. I'm human. You know? I told y'all my son got murdered. My wife's in a nursing home for the last 11 months, but she's been sick for the last 12 years. I took care of her most of that time. And she had her 25th stroke, took her eyesight, speech, and she's not able to walk. And I say that to say, and here's the thing about my wife. She was a 12-step member. She was a step tradition and concept lady. She helped a lot of people. And she had these operations, and the disease of addiction did just what it does to us. It seeks and destroys. So she was on this oxycodone, and the next thing you know, she was addicted to it. And the next thing you know, she was misusing it. And the next thing you know, I'm the one holding it. And the disease of addiction is cussing me out, hitting on me, telling me to give me one more. And I had to use y'all. I ain't hit that lady. And that lady hit hard, too. I had to leave the room sometimes and she hit hard, you know. And what happened was, with all the sickness that she got, the diabetes, she got a box in her chest, heart problems, told you the operations, the 25 strokes. That stuff came as a result of that medicine she was taking and not putting and allowing the disease of addiction to do what it does. It's out to seek and destroy us. It's out to kill us. And so, with all this going on and my own stuff, you know, I just had an accident at work. I don't know what my dumbass was thinking, but I ran into a low bridge. I've been driving truck for 23 years. And one morning I woke up. I don't know why I was thinking 10-9 and seen 11 on the bridge and ran into it. Ended up with a concussion, re-injury on my back and my neck. And after I hit the bridge, you know what I said? You didn't hit the bridge, now you might as well accept it. That's what this does. When you're applying this stuff that we learn through our sharing and through our sponsorship with going over steps, traditions, and concepts, we're able to go to stuff right away. Or we have, let me stop. We have it to go to right away. Because when the cop pulled up, he looked at me and I looked at him.